All right. So this is going to be kind of an episode of Random Chatter. We're going to post this in the Random Chatter feed for the people who wanted to hear this and aren't here. So this will end up being, what, episode 103. No intro music, no special fanfare, no special production stuff. This is something I thought I would never be doing. This was not scheduled. Lou, I just kind of grabbed you off the cuff here. So
yeah,
I apologize for that.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's been an interesting day, interesting week.
Yeah, I feel a little left out because I was busy doing stuff last night and busy doing stuff most of the day today away from social media, so I didn't get to see a lot of this.
Yeah, I would say you didn't miss much, but you you did. what we're doing a live stream here where we're going to talk about what's been going on recently with the Forcecast. We've also got people here in the chat room who are free to ask questions. We just ask that they're respectful. You can ask us anything. Well, when I say us, first of all, let me be clear. I am the one doing this. Really, I have Lou here for partially, to be honest, for emotional support, because I plan to be falling on my sword quite a bit during this conversation. My goal here is to give people kind of an honest look at what's been going on behind the scenes. And part of that means that I'm going to be talking about my own failings. So, and I'm going to be completely honest in everything I say here. I think that the fans of the Forcecast Network from start to finish, regardless of which hosts you did or didn't like, I think that people kind of deserve honest answers about what's been going on. And I think that, you know, there are some things I'm going to talk about here that I probably wouldn't talk about otherwise, probably won't talk about again if I can avoid it. But I think that given the Forcecast has been shut down and as of today no longer exists, I think that that opens the doors a little bit to talk, you know, to reflect back and talk about the history of it and kind of the nature of things. If it were still going live, I don't think I would do this because to some extent, I think it might be inappropriate. But yeah, that's not the case. It's now not.
Yeah, sadly. I mean, it's a big change.
So again, I want to be clear that my opinions here are my own. Lou is here kind of more as a moderator. Lou, I want you to interrupt me if there's something that you think needs to be clarified. Okay. Lou, you can feel free to ask me questions that you think people might want to know about. And in the chat room, Lou, I don't know if you have the chat room open right now. I hope you do.
I do.
Okay, good. I'm going to be distracted enough with what I'm talking about that I might not catch everything in the chat room. So Lou, I'm also going to rely on you to kind of be fielding the questions from the chat room if any come up. And if none come up, then, I mean, that's fine, too.
Now the pressure's on. Okay. Wow.
That pressure, man. I tell you, I've got butterflies in my stomach right now. I've never really been nervous doing a recording before. Mm-hmm. And this is the one that I'm shaking. It's weird.
See, now you know how I feel.
How you feel? You're not. You didn't do anything wrong, dude.
No, I'm told the butterflies. When I first started podcasting with you, I had to remember when to breathe. I'm like, I don't. This is really weird.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to draw that up again. Just
no. I understand what it's like. I mean, when I was first doing it, I started on what is now the Forcecast back in 2005, mm-hmm. and I had the benefit of I was doing it solo, which actually really sucked. But I had the benefit of going back afterwards and like editing the hell out of it, you know, just like chopping it up and everything. So, mm-hmm. But speaking of which, this is going to be completely unedited. If I say anything that offends someone, I apologize. That's not my intention. Not just with, you know, in the language I use, I'm not really planning on doing anything like that. But if I say something about someone that offends them, I apologize for that too. But this is going to be raw. This is going to be uncut. So there you go.
Okay. I should probably bring somebody in the chat room mentioned that, you know, make sure we don't do anything that makes you, you're open to legal problems too. I mean, I don't think we will, you know, there's not a lot going on here, but, you know, just,
well, that's true. You know, I don't plan to libel anybody.
Right.
And I think that some of the differences that are going on are because of different perspectives on things. And I think that some of the hatred that's been going on online has been from people only having portions of the story. And so that's actually part of one of the reasons I want to do this. I want to I don't like all the hatred that's going on online. I disagree with some of the stuff that happened. I disagree with actions that have been taken. But those are disagreements. That's not a reason for the level of hatred and vitriol that I've been seeing. So part of what I want to do here is make sure that people know what's really going on, what really has been going on. They can form their own opinions. You guys can disagree with me all you want. You have that right, and I encourage that. And that's great. I just want us all to be respectful to one another, and I've seen that kind of deteriorate. And one of the things I love about the Star Wars community is that there is this sense of community and support among people who wouldn't otherwise support one another, but we all share this passion for what we're doing and for Star Wars. And, you know, it's a movie. It sounds silly, but it's more than a movie, and it's permeated so much of our lives that we actually have our own little subculture that is highly supportive. And I want to go back to seeing that again. And I'm not presumptuous enough to believe that I am going to fix all that. That's not what I'm trying to do here, but I am trying to do my part in putting everything out on the table. And if I reveal things here that other people don't want revealed, I apologize for that too. My intention is not to throw anybody under the bus. In fact, I plan to not do that. But I hope that those people would understand that the point of this is to quell some of this drama that's been going on and to give people an understanding of how complex, this sort of stuff can be. So, what I'm going to do, I'm going to start out, talking a little bit about the history of the Force Cast and, the structure of what's gone on. Then I'm going to talk about the past, 2.5-3 years that I've been involved with it, and then kind of what's been going on behind the scenes leading up to recent events. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to talk about the recent events. I'm going to give my opinions on some of the things, and then as questions come up from the chat room along the way, that's great. Otherwise, I'll take questions at the end. I'm guessing, based on my history of podcasting and looking at the notes I made for myself here, that this could take about an hour. If people don't have that long in the chat room and they want to throw questions out, we'll try to get to them before they have to take off. But that's kind of what we're looking at. I did post an article earlier before things got to the end game here on Random Chatter called Let's Clear the Room. I didn't think Dustin was going to take it literally, but Forcecast is officially shut down, just to be clear. And like I said, this is going to hurt on a personal level because I fear I may be, I don't think I'm betraying confidences here. I don't think I'm coming anywhere close to that, but I fear I'm going to say some things that people aren't comfortable with me saying. And also, I'm going to point out my own failures, and I've had many. The network's been my responsibility for quite a while, and hey, I got to own up to it. So, I'll try to keep it brief. History of the Force Cast. The podcast actually wasn't named a Force Cast initially. It was just called the podcast at theforce.net. I started it back in 2005. I was doing it on my own. Covered Celebration 3. Later in 2000, this was early in 2005. Later in 2005, this is before Skype existed. This is before a lot of the availability to podcasters was available. In fact, iTunes, Apple didn't even recognize podcasting as a thing yet.
Yeah.
I was doing it as far back as then, but I didn't have the resources to keep doing it because doing it solo, I had to script everything out in advance. I had to do the recording. For every hour I recorded, I had about 3 hours of editing I would do after the fact. It was way too cumbersome, nothing like it is doing it today. So I talked to Dustin and them and I said, listen, is there anybody that could help me out? But everything was remote. We couldn't really do it over the telephone. So I backed out. And then in 2006, they started up what is now known as the Forcecast. It was Jason and, oh, I forget the other guy's name, and I feel really bad about that now. But Jason started it along with someone else, and then before too long, Jimmy came in, J-Mac. And Jason and Jimmy created what was the Forcecast. Jimmy obviously has a history in radio. He's a professional broadcaster. And so the production quality was out of this world. I mean, it was way beyond what other podcasts are still doing. Their production quality is way better than anything I do. I mean, I'll fess up to it. He's a professional. That's what he does.
You know? Right. They did a great job.
Yeah. And they still do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they did it for a while. And then around the time the new Star Wars movies were announced, just shortly after that, they had, I think it's okay to say this because they were kind of public about it, but they had a falling out with Philip, who owns the Forcecast as well as the Force.net, RebelScum.com, owns Official Picks, which for a long time up until just very recently was the Disney authorized or Disney licensed autograph store. So they had a falling out with Philip. They had some differences of opinion on philosophies on how to run the network, how it should integrate with the other websites. I think Philip was of the opinion that the Forcecast should support the main Force.net website. Jimmy and Jason, I think, felt like that shouldn't be the case. I wasn't around for that whole debacle, so I can't really speak too much of it other than what I've heard from Jimmy and Jason and from what I've heard internally on the Forcecast. It seems like it's a good thing that they went their own way because they did have a different vision than the owners did, and they are able to execute that vision now, and some more power to them. There were things I think both sides could have handled differently, but you know, that's my own personal opinion and it doesn't really matter at this point. When they left, there was a big, big to-do in the audience community, obviously. And I understand why. I mean, that's a big deal. I was asked to come back in, and I jumped at it. I loved working with the Force.net previously. I had been reading their stuff since they were the Star Wars page at A&M University, way, way, way back in the 90s. And I jumped at it. I'm like, yeah, are you kidding? They just announced that Star Wars is coming back again? Yeah, I'm all over this. So they brought me in to do a podcast. There was some miscommunication going into it. I feel like I was, if not led to believe, I was allowed to believe that I was coming in to start up a new podcast. Eric Geller was kind of led to believe the same thing. And so Eric Geller and I came in with different plans of what was going on, and both kind of thought that we were in charge of things. So we had to, right off the bat, we had to sit down and figure out, okay, what's actually going on there. And we did. We sat down. We worked it out. He didn't really have a history in podcasting. It was a little awkward at first. And in all honesty, our first episode is probably one of the worst episodes of podcasting I've ever done. It was a really bad first episode. and I don't think Eric would be bothered by me saying that. I mean, he got way better, as all podcasters do. That was his first time on the air. And I mean, Lou, in your first episode, didn't sound like you do now.
You know, and that's one of the things too, especially new hosts getting together. I mean, back when we first did the Sabacc table for Random Chatter, the gaming podcast, it was an episode you couldn't make it. And Nate and I decided to record anyway. And it was horrible. We never even posted it because it was just we didn't have the same connection that the three of us did. So, right. You know, it takes time for people to settle into their ways.
It does. It does. And then as they get comfortable on the mic and they get comfortable with the other host too, then the banter comes a little more easily. You learn about, you know, where the other person has a pause. You know if they're pausing to think about something or if they're pausing because they want you to step in and say something. Mm. And that just takes a little bit of building a relationship. And Eric and I didn't have that at first, and we eventually got it. Real quick, by the way, for the chat room, this is all being handled through Ustream, but if you're using the smartphone or the tablet app for Ustream, there are no ads. So, just a little public service announcement for you there if you want to listen to this without
ads. Yeah, so if you're doing that versus your computer, there won't be any ads.
Yeah. So, yeah, Derek in the chat room, I vaguely remember the early awkwardness of Eric and Eric. I acutely remember the awkwardness. I wish my memory of it were only vague. Yeah, it was rough, but, you know, we got past it. And Eric and I still continue to have differences of opinions as time went on, but we got through it, and we had some really good shows. There, after a while, the tension was still kind of there. I suggested bringing in a third host. Eric was kind of on the fence about it. We found Justin, and we had Justin Bolger on for a couple of episodes. And Justin, to his credit, was such a good host that Eric Geller almost immediately put aside his concerns about having a show with three people as opposed to two people. And he came on as a permanent host for the Forcecast. Justin did. And that was a great experience. I think the three of us did great shows. We looked at that point at expanding the network a little bit. There were also some other issues that popped up. I'll come back to those in a little bit. It eventually ended up being Eric and Justin. I broke off and did Echo Base. Then Eric left the network, and I'll come to that in a little bit as well. And then Justin brought in some other hosts to help him on the Forcecast show. He brought in John, Paul, and Megan. And I think they did a great job as well. There was some hiccups early on. Justin had a certain vision of where he wanted to go with the show. I really like his vision. He had some difficulty executing it because this is not as easy as people think it is. But again, like with any podcast, over time he brought it around into something that was pretty solid. John Beerley, who I really appreciate his involvement with the network. He was a great host. He moved on to a film project, which we were all very excited for him. We told him he was welcome back at any time. And let's see, where did we go after that? Justin brought in Saf to replace John. They carried the show for a while. Justin stepped out. He didn't have the time to keep up with the production and the show notes and everything. So then it was Megan, Paul, and Saf for a while. I think they did a really good job. I came back at the tail end there to help out a little bit with some things I'll talk to later on in this explanation. Then I left. Kyle became the showrunner, the network director, actually, and he changed the show. And we had an episode that was released. When was it released? This Friday?
Friday,
I think. Yesterday.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. Things happened quickly.
Yes. And now that is the end of the history of the Forcecast. So, so that's the basic outline. Delving into some of the difficulties. I think that people need to understand that the force.net, rebelscum.com, the Forcecast, this is all volunteer stuff. People volunteer to take on projects, and hopefully they follow through with it. The force.net for a long time survived on the fact that they had several different people, and if one person needed to step away for a while, someone else could come in and pick up the slack for them, and there was a constant stream of posts and information coming in, and that's why the force.net thrived for so long. And that was always a good thing. With Jimmy and Jason doing the Forcecast, they had their own thing. They had a lot of time to spend on it. It was very easy, I presume, because Jimmy working in radio, he already had a lot of the resources available to him. So that, I'm sure that helped out a lot. And so they did their own thing. It wasn't really so much a network as it was a main show. And then every now and then they'd have some specialty episodes or, you know, a specialty series of episodes. You know, they would do the Clone Wars roundtable stuff and things like that. And, yeah, so then the time came where they wanted to expand what they were doing, the scope of what they did and the nature of what they did. And it just wasn't compatible with where Philip wanted to have things, and they left. So Eric and I came on. Like I said, it was awkward at first. Things kind of settled out. But they never really... There was always some tension behind the scenes over some differences of vision. And I want to be clear, that's not to Eric Geller's fault. It's just, he had a vision. He had a very clear vision. I had a very clear vision. The visions weren't really that compatible. For this reason, that was one of the reasons I wanted to bring in a third person. There's also just some logistical benefits of having a third person in a podcast because, Lou, for example, if I can't make it to Echo Base on a certain week, you and Chris can still... You know, you guys can still do the show.
Sure, yeah.
And that helps a lot.
If it's just two people and one's out, it's pretty much a no-go for that week.
Right, right. So that was another benefit of it. And again, Justin came in. He was brilliant. I love Justin. Justin Bolger, as I said on Twitter today, I am proud to be able to call him a friend. I have a lot of acquaintances. I have a smaller group of people I consider friends. And Justin is solidly... in that group. And even Justin and I disagreed on things, but it was great because we agreed in such a way that it was respectful. It was logical. I might have disagreed with him on something, but man, he supported his points well. He was respectful of me and my points. And that was awesome. I loved that. I thrive on that.
Well, that's part of what a good debate is. I mean, you right. know, one's not right and one's not wrong. There's never really that kind of a clear delineation. It's just two opinions. And right. if you can state your opinion and not get mad at the other person, that's great. You know, some people can't do that.
Now I gotta drop into the chat room here. I haven't really been looking at it until you speak up because then I have an opportunity to. Rezekai, Lou Seki equals my favorite podcaster.
Wow.
Why? He's also a sports fan. Out of the 12 or so Star Wars podcasts I listen to, he's one of the few that follows sports. Really? That's why he's your favorite podcaster?
Wait. That's a big thing.
It's a big thing for you.
I just got back from a hockey game tonight. Come on. I mean, it was just AHL, but still.
Well, still. All right. So, oh, God, where was I? Oh, yeah. So, you know, Justin came in, and it was great because... we had a tiebreaker, basically, behind the scenes, which is kind of nice. We still had issues. Not only did Eric Geller and I have differences of opinion, Eric Geller and a lot of the other staff members on the ForceCast, as well as the Force.net, had differences, and some of them couldn't really get over that. When we got to Celebration 2015, things kind of came to a head behind the scenes. And I don't think there's a need to get into too many details around this side of things, but needless to say, the relationships between some people and Eric Geller were such that Eric Geller decided to leave. Shortly after Celebration. And that was beneficial in the sense that the tension behind the scenes was gone. And I want to take this moment, this is kind of the end of Eric Geller's story in regards to all this. I want to take a moment to thank Eric Geller because even though he and I disagree on a lot of things, and even though he and I butted heads a lot of times behind the scenes on things, there's no question that he was dedicated to the network and to the Force.net. he cared a lot about it. He cared a lot about the fans, the audience. He cared a lot about being a Star Wars fan, and he was very passionate about what he did. So I have to give him respect for that. And he worked hard. And I want to thank him for that, too. Chat room pointed out, Derek said, I thought he was busy with school or his job or something. Actually, that was a factor. He had just finished school not too long before that, and he was starting a new job. And I think that was obviously a massive factor, but I think that what was going on behind the scenes was probably also enough of a contributing factor that the combination of the two affected the timing of it. Leading up to this, though, we were trying to there were some concerns brought up about Geller and the interaction with the network and stuff like that. Behind the scenes, they were brought up to Philip and the powers that be, if you will. And the compromise that was determined at the time was that Eric Geller would run the ForceCast show, and I would run the ForceCast network. So Geller could do. I'm calling him Geller as a way to refer to. We have two Erics, so just for the sake of clarity.
Yeah, you know, in verbal, the C and the K thing doesn't really
come across. It doesn't come across verbally that much. So the chat room's asking a little bit about the relationship between Eric Geller and Jimmy and Jason back in the day. I can't speak to that. I wasn't around for that. So I'm not going to speak to something like that that I don't have any information on at all. So I'm sorry I can't answer that question. So Eric Geller was allowed to have his own vision for the show itself, and I was allowed to have a vision for the network. And so that was a way to kind of let Eric have some creative expression in that specific form, and yet I could still kind of steer the ship. That was when I broke off, and we also agreed, and when I say we, I mean Eric Geller as well, to take the discussion portion of the show out of the main ForceCast show, and we spun that off into Echo Base. So, amazed Eric has the time for this. I don't know if you're talking about this particular episode or like everything going on behind the scenes with the network. If it's this particular episode, it's important to me that people understand things, so I'm going to take the time to do this.
But no, I think really the chat room is getting it more than just that. It's everything in general, you know, how much we all put into this kind of thing, and it does take a lot of time, but it is also it's a passion, so it's, you know, it's something we're going to work towards and have fun doing.
Yeah. Though I do have to a quick aside here: when things don't go well, the hate mail. From people who have the sense of obligation that we owe them something. we're committing to doing something. So we do owe, a commitment to produce shows and things like that. But we've had some people in the past who've like really taken things overboard. And I just am like, dude, you understand? Like, I have a wife, I have a child, I have a job, I have to put food on my table, you know, but That's been, you know, that's definitely the minority, fortunately. But
yeah, exactly. I mean, if the majority of people out there were just being, you know, negative about a lot of things, then this wouldn't be any fun, and we probably wouldn't keep doing it.
Right. And that's kind of hard. Sometimes you have to figure out like where that balance is between, having a few people who are just complaining for the sake of complaining, and then if it's a larger problem, if you have a substantial amount of people complaining about something, then there's basically an issue that needs to be addressed. So Yoda in the chat room, no, we haven't gotten to that yet, we will. So no, I don't think I was the one who found I was the one who found the $40 in the street to buy the Lego Ghost Wipe. Oh, I forgot all about that. That was pretty awesome. Anyway. Okay. So it's Eric and Justin doing the main ForceCast show. I broke off and did Echo Base. That helped a while with things. And I kind of, it was, oh, I forgot. Before that, I think it was, while I was still on the show, we let Justin run the show. So I now I'm starting to question the timing of something. There's a point at which we decided to let Justin run things so that it wouldn't look like Eric was being ganged up on and that I was bringing up issues so that I could, like, squeeze him out or something like that, because that was never the case. I wasn't interested in doing that. And I think I suggested Justin run things as a way to demonstrate that that's not what was going on. I forget the exact timing. This whole section of time was all kind of a blur. Plus we were leading up to Celebration and making plans and such. Things at Celebration itself obviously didn't go as planned. A lot of people are aware of that. The coverage that we had planned and scheduled and worked out, didn't go according to plan. And there's a whole other story behind that, and it's related to all this. We don't need to get into the details. Eric left. Justin was very well loved and still is. Got a lot of great feedback. And he and I discussed where we were going to take things. He had a vision for how he wanted to do the Forcecast show. I liked his vision. I still do. I thought it was a little bit ambitious. I had concerns about whether or not he'd be able to pull it off, which he got some of it where he wanted it to be, but I think some of it ended up being a little bit too ambitious, and he wasn't able to execute it the way he had hoped. And that's not to his fault, because a lot of this stuff, you know, you come up with a great plan for things, but it's harder to implement than people think. He wanted to turn it kind of into like an Access Hollywood sort of spotlight feature magazine sort of thing, as opposed to more of a PBS style NPR news show. And that's great. I think that would be awesome to have. He eventually wanted to do video too, which would make it all the better. I loved where he was going with it. I just wasn't sure it could be pulled off. In hindsight,
in pulling off in a consistent manner would be tough too.
Right.
Just because of everything that we all have going on. And that was, you know, one of the things I felt from that point of view. And I remember, I wasn't on the main Forcecast show, but as far as the network goes, you know, we were kind of struggling just to do things as they were, just because we're all busy with stuff. Adding that level of complexity onto things, I thought was going to make things extremely difficult to keep going forward and maybe putting us into a worse position than we were at the time.
Right. And that's always the tricky part. All right, chat room real quick. Not that anybody's been inappropriate with anything. Just want to point out that people have critiques on the different hosts and stuff like that. That's cool. I don't plan on like censoring anybody, but you know, let's just keep it kind of you know, civil. Yeah. Not that anybody's being not civil. I just don't want it to
constructive,
you know, to get that way. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, people that want to say that I'm their favorite podcast host, by all means, keep saying that. That's fantastic. But
yeah, he'll send you the check later. All right. So that was when Geller left. Justin brought on Megan to do a little news thing, which was good. One of the things is we wanted to bring some diversity in. We wanted to, but you have to be careful. Something we talked about. Was you need to make sure that if you're going to try to increase the diversity of your show, you don't just bring in a token member of a minority. You bring someone in who actually has quality and is good at what they do. And of course, there are plenty of people out there. And we were lucky enough to find Megan. And that was awesome because she has some of the most brilliant insights on Star Wars of any podcaster I've listened to. Her presentation of just doing kind of a monologue of a scripted news thing didn't come out all that well.
And that's tough to do for anybody, really.
Oh my gosh, it's tough to do. I mean, you have no idea.
Solo stuff is very hard to do. We did, back in Random Chatter, we had that quick, real quick reviews we were doing for a while.
Yeah.
And even just trying to script out a 5-minute, you know, quick review of something, I was just going, oh my God, I can't do this.
Right? It's harder than you think it is.
Yeah.
You don't write the way you speak. And then you can change it. You can try to write the way you speak, and you can get really darn close. But then when you're actually speaking it, then you trip over what you're saying because you think of a different way to say, because every time, like in conversations, you change how you phrase things, like midway through a sentence or something like that as you're speaking. It's really tough. And yeah, to her credit,
in that first episode that Megan did the news that way, I was in the car and I was like, oh my God, it was painful to listen to. And it's sad because Megan's a very articulate person. She's great to talk
with.
She is. It's just, I was like, well, this didn't work really well at all. So,
And to his credit, you know, we talked to Justin about it. He wasn't getting a lot of the feedback on the show, which is a logistical thing I'll get to here in a little bit. But when I started showing him some of the feedback, he immediately was like, oh, this is something that we need to address. And he spoke to Megan about it, and Megan was very receptive. And she's like, okay, now I want to make sure that my contribution is a valuable one. So he changed it around, and he started getting her more into the discussion thing, which was brilliant because, like I said, Megan is brilliant. And that was a great thing to do. Paul and John, great hosts. So as he's doing this, I was looking at Echo Base. Things seem to be going well. One of the things that didn't go well was Rebels Roundtable. When Eric left, he and Spencer Brinkerhoff had been doing Rebels Roundtable. Spencer, another guy I absolutely love, did a phenomenal job. I will support any podcast that he goes on. In fact, he was just on Rebel Force Radio recently discussing the latest episode of Rebels. Was a phenomenal episode. And Spencer is another person who, more so than a lot of others, I feel a personal responsibility toward that I failed him. I'm just putting that out unequivocally. No excuses. I failed him. He needed help getting the show back up and running. He needed someone to handle preparing the notes and doing the production. He was able to do the production himself, but he needed help with it. I tried to get some more information from him about the specifics of what he needed. He and I lost touch communication wise, and regardless of who owed who what emails or why it happened, the reality is it was my responsibility as the network director to continue to pursue it, and I didn't. So that's another way in which I failed Spencer. So Rebels Roundtable basically went dormant. Spencer couldn't do it on his own. He didn't have any ideas, to my knowledge, for good co-hosts. I didn't have any ideas for good co-hosts. The people I did have from the network already couldn't take on any additional responsibilities. So, you know, that's it. It is what it is. And it's hard to bring in new people from outside the network because you have to vet them. Everybody wants in. You have to like listen to samples for things. We, in hindsight, probably should have gone that route. It's a much bigger undertaking than people realize. So anyway, Rebels Roundtable kind of floundered as a result. Echo Base was doing well. The Forcecast had, I've got the webpage open here for something else. That's why it popped into my mouth there. The Forcecast show was starting to recover and starting to do well as far as the feedback was concerned. They started building a fan following of their own, and that was awesome. I started looking at other things I could do on the network. I was a little jealous I wasn't on the main flagship show anymore. But I trusted Justin, and I wanted him to feel like he had the autonomy to do his own thing and for that to be his creative outlet. I looked at some other things. You and I used to do a show on the Random Chatter show, where we would talk about, it was basically Forcecast for entertainment news. So we realized Jay from Jedi Journals was already doing a show for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He was doing for, you still there?
Sorry about that. Yep.
Oh, okay. Was doing a show for Arrow, was doing a show for The Flash, and he was posting those to the Random Chatter Network still. And he was the only way in which that was still active. And I thought, well, you and I had talked about going back to doing the main Random Chatter show. My responsibilities had actually diminished a little bit, and we had time to do that now. So like we thought, well, why don't we – I mean, a lot of this stuff is still relevant to Star Wars fans. Let's spin it off. We'll do Outer Rim, a Star Wars tangential show. This is something we had actually started up right around the time that Eric Geller was leaving, I think. And so you and I were doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people thought that was going to take more time away from me than it did, because it's a whole network now of different shows. But the reality was Jay was doing all those shows anyway. All we did was just cross-post them. We added one show, the Outer Rim show itself. That was it. So that had seemed to be successful. Over time, the other things in which we were trying to do fluctuated. We were at a good point. We decided to continue to expand the network. We had probably another, an additional five show ideas. We had brought Kyle in. This is around the time of Celebration. And so he started doing Galactic Top 40. He was joining us on Echo Base.
Mm-hmm.
That met with a mixed amount of success. We had some concerns from some of the feedback that we got there. And we also had some concerns with some of the things he was saying on social media. The nice thing about having him on the network was he's good on a microphone. He could do audio production along with Justin. That was a big help to the network, mm-hmm. having someone else who can do production behind the scenes.
If I could step in 1 second here,
yeah,
I thought
sure.
It was a big difference between what he helped us with at Celebration versus what he was on Skype calls afterward. He was fantastic running the show. We had the stage set up in the middle of the Autograph Hall at Celebration, where he would kind of stay on mic. He'd bring people in and off microphones. He'd kind of be the host for the show. It was fantastic. In a Skype setting, it didn't seem to be quite as fluid for him, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's true. I wonder if it didn't have to do with the difference between being there live with other people. And,
visual cues and bringing people in does make a big difference.
Right. And on Skype, it is a little different. Mm. And yes, the chat room is pointing out, yes, he is young. Take that for what you will. That's not a critique. We all were at some point. So Kyle ended up leaving. Justin ended up leaving. And the timing of that, we lost two very prominent people, two of the more popular people in the network. The two people who were handling production. And right at the time where we had just started to grow things a little bit, we were looking at maybe getting some advertisers to come in to then help us grow further. We had talked with two other people at Celebration about maybe starting up new shows, one of which didn't end up working out. The other one, Mike Templeton, actually. We have Mike Templeton on the Sabacc table now.
Mm-hmm.
The Sabacc table, another show that it was hard to deal with people's schedules. The more people you get involved in a show, I mean, we've got four people on that show right now, not including me. And people have different jobs, different availability, different nights of the week they can and can't record. It's more difficult than people realize. When you're doing a show with just two people, it's very easy. So that was an added complication. We started getting a lot more activity. As the numbers for the show increased and it was more successful, there were more things to handle behind the scenes. There were more expectations of social media. There was more expectations of responding to emails, of dealing with listener feedback, of coming up with ideas for topics, of making arrangements for interviews and guests, etc. In addition, the infrastructure behind the scenes of the Forcecast and the other websites, it's a proprietary-based system. It's a little old. I found it a little difficult to deal with, not in the sense that it was hard, but in the sense that it was complicated. There were a lot of hoops you had to jump through to post things. In addition, if we wanted to add someone to an email list, I mentioned earlier that Justin didn't get some of the feedback from the Forcecast show. Well, in order to get him added to Forcecast at Forcecast.net, I had to go through Philip. Philip has a lot of different things he does business-wise. And again, this is a network of volunteers, and so is the Force.net, and so is RebelScum.com. So to protect himself, he handles a lot of the more critical aspects of, you know, who has access to different things, and that makes sense. Okay, so I'm not criticizing Philip for this at all. But it does add an additional layer of complication to get things done. So Justin wasn't getting this feedback because he never ended up getting added to that mailing list. And I had asked Philip a couple times, the request probably, you know, he sits down and does several things like this at once throughout, you know, different weeks and stuff like that. And it probably got lost in the shuffle. Unfortunately, we had a few things like that get lost in the shuffle. And it was... It added to the complexity of things, and it added to the difficulty. I was, as I put in the post on randomchatter.com, I felt like, and these numbers probably aren't entirely accurate, but I felt like I was spending about 80% of my time doing things behind the scenes and about 20% of my time actually podcasting, actually, you know, behind the mic and the production, by the way, like right now. Well, when I'm done with this, I'm basically just dumping it on the website. But like last... last Thursday we recorded Outer Rim and Random Chatter. Basically, I took the audio file when we were done. I loaded it into a template. I already had the intro music lined up, so I lined up the closing music at the end, and I hit save. That was it. We don't really have to edit things out anymore. I mean, we're not a professional radio show, and you and I have been doing this long enough that, you know, we're able to carry the show along okay. We don't have to like cut every second of dead air or silence or someone saying or it adds a little bit to the conversationality of a show.
Yeah, and I only make gaffes every now and then, like just recently.
Well, sometimes the gaffes make you know, that adds some personality too, depending on what the gaffes are. And if there's something really bad, then yeah, you know,
and sometimes it gives you good bonus content. I mean, it does. You know, that time my Skype froze and that was
the Earl incident.
Earl for a month.
Oh, that was hilarious. Yeah. Yeah. So, oh, that was another thing too. I didn't have time to keep up with the Patreon perks. You know, here are people who are donating through Patreon, helping us out with expenses for things. And, for lack of a better way to put it, we just didn't have time to do all of the perks that we were trying to do. They ended up being overly complicated. Again, scheduling issues behind the scenes with trying to get us available for the different hangouts and stuff. And then various other things. It just, that started to fall apart too. In the meantime, with Justin no longer on the main Forcecast show, Paul, Megan, and Saf were on their own. And to their credit, they did a great job. They covered the comics each week. They covered the new books. They covered the issues leading up into The Force Awakens. The problem is, I failed them as well. I didn't really put them in a position where they had any sense of structure to the show, nor did they really have any expectations of what we expected of the show as the flagship show on the network. I felt like the shows themselves were great. They were interesting to listen to. I'm going to interrupt myself real quick here. Patreon's being brought up in the chat room. Some of our donors are there. I just thank you. Thank you for that. And you know, I failed you guys too. Again, no excuses. I unequivocally apologize. Regardless of what the reasons were and the causes were, it was still my responsibility. And I take it to heart. It's an additional thing that should have gone very differently, and it was my responsibility. We are going to be going back to Patreon and Random Chatter. We're going to handle things differently. We have a different infrastructure. that actually facilitates us being able to do a lot of the things that we weren't able to really get done before. So I know that that's something we'll have to demonstrate to people as opposed to them just taking us at our word for it. You know, we'll get back there. To answer another question, no, we don't have Patreon set up yet. By the end of this weekend, we will. And we'll have some perks set up, and we would love to get suggestions too from people if there's certain things they'd like to see for perks. And we will have some sort of a hangout related perk as well. But anyway, so Patreon was another thing that kind of fell apart. The main forecast show, that's where I was at. They had really good episodes, but it was kind of like Echo Base Part 2. It ended up, for the most part, being more of a discussion show, and we were losing sight of having a real strong news presence on the Forcecast, which is something that we had always had before, and a lot of people wanted it to go back to that. And a lot of people were kind of frustrated by, you know, the way things had changed back with the issues going on with shuffling people around at the end of Eric Geller's time on the show, and then Justin coming in, and then Justin stepping out. So we talked about, you know, I went to Paul and Megan and Saf, and I said, listen, you guys do a better job of Echo Base than we do on Echo Base. We do need to go back to covering actual news. We need to have it structured. We need to cover specific news items, and in, you know, we have some flexibility and we can do it in a creative way, but we still have to hit certain beats. So if you guys are cool with that, then great. But if you guys would rather continue doing what you're doing, which you do so well, we would be willing to trade shows with you. We'll take the main Forcecast show and you guys can take Echo Base. And we talked about it, and Paul kind of felt like that they had earned their spot on that show, and I couldn't disagree with them. I mean, they did a really good job, and I think it was perhaps Megan who brought up the fact that there wasn't really any structure, there wasn't any expectation set of what it was they wanted done, and they were correct. They were. So I said, you know what, you guys are right. We're going to keep you on the main show. I'm going to come back onto the show. I'm going to work with you guys and try to set up the structure that you guys need. So the problem in me doing that was, it was, is the stream crashing? Are we still good, guys? All right. Some people are saying that they have
people are coming in and out. Problems. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm going to just kind of coast along here for about another 25 seconds or so to make sure that everybody's all right. Okay. You're good. All right. So the problem in me going back to the Forcecast was at that point, I didn't really have the time anymore if I was also trying to keep up with some of the other things that were going on. About this time, I'm also moving from, you know, 5 or 6 states away, also job hunting. And so all of this is going on at that time. So I ended up kind of coming back on the main Forcecast show, kind of telling them, listen, I'm going to try to set up some structure. There may be times when I'm not there, but this, you know, this is basically the structure. And then you guys will have a framework to work the show around. And for the most part, it did. They adjusted and adapted to the new structure, and they did so really well. I'm very proud of them. And I'm grateful to them for sticking around. I mean, they could have just jumped ship at any point. They weren't taking care of the way they should have. They didn't have the history with the other staff members. So they also didn't have a lot of communication with the other staff members. And a lot of the staff members, to be fair, I mean, when there's overlap, like I'm on a lot of different shows, so I have a lot of interactions with different people. Jay and Chris Wyman on Jedi Journal, so I don't think I've really mentioned yet, they've been doing their own thing. They do it once a month. They are never late. They are always consistent. They always put out a great show. And they do their own production. They do their own posting. They are their own self-encapsulated system that works great. But as a result, there's not really a lot of need for them to communicate with other people on the network. They have other things also going on that they do, and that's fine. And Jay and I did communicate. Jay and I, you know, Jay has been on the Random Chatter Show prior to all of this before, too. You know, I don't want to make it sound like they were just never heard of or heard from. But so Paul and Saf and Megan kind of felt like, you know, listen, what do you expect from us here? And I'm like, yeah, no, you're right. Let's fix this. So we did, and they did, and they continued putting out a really good show. So their schedules are very complicated as well. Megan is on the East Coast. Paul is on the West Coast. Saf is in New Zealand. So as you can imagine, trying to get together for recording times is difficult. And then on top of that, aside from myself, Paul is the only one who was actually set up to be able to record the Skype call. And none of them really had like any particularly good audio recording equipment or anything. And that's fine because their content made up for it, in my opinion. Not to say the production doesn't matter. It does, but that's okay. So there were some other logistical complications there as well. But I kind of try to get the structure set up and let them do their own thing. There was another aspect of the main Forcecast show that came up too. Diversity in Star Wars became a very popular topic amongst the Star Wars fan community, as it should be. I mean, we have diversity in the real world, and we're getting more diversity in Star Wars. Some of the topics of diversity are less controversial than others. For example, women's rights have it's still controversial in many senses, but not to the extreme that some other things are. For example, you know, women have had the right to vote for more than a few years now. Like, they're treated like real human beings. Go figure. on the other hand, they're also not getting equal salaries. They're not being equally represented in fiction and in Hollywood. So there are still issues. But, okay, so I'm going to pause that for just a second to answer the question in the chat room. I did offer Paul, Megan, and Saf a show of their choosing on the Random Chatter Network. They all expressed great gratitude for me offering. And they have something else lined up that they're working on, which I support fully. So anyhow, oh great, and I'm already starting to Carrie, don't hate me. All right, kidding. All right, good. Anyway, so diversity in respect to representation of women is still a concern. But it's more common that people realize that that's a concern and realize that that's something that needs to be fixed. Then you have the LGBT community. That is something that is generally, at least here in the United States, considered more controversial. People are more aggressive with their stance on either side of the fence about it. And so people are a little more touchy about the topic, whether they should be or not. Nothing I'm saying here is about speaking to the topic itself. I'm talking about the logistics of what happened on the show and the community and the effect and the responses we get, things like that. That I want to make it really clear. If I accidentally say something and make it sound like that's my opinion, I'm probably not actually trying to say that. Okay. So being that two of the three hosts of the show were female, and I believe all of them have people that at least that they know in the LGBT community as friends. I know that there are other prominent Star Wars podcasters and other people in the Star Wars community who are. This was brought up. And as it should be, we shouldn't be shying away from ways in which Star Wars reflects the world around us. And I mean, that's part of what makes Star Wars relevant. Some people felt like there was a point at which that was starting to become all this show was about. Like the Forcecast was becoming a a show to talk about social issues, and that that was like the thing. And it was never really supposed to be the thing. We tried to steer it back to news. There was one point at which the Academy Awards came up, and Saf made a comment about it, you know, it being a bunch of old white guys in a derogatory way. So, of course, we got a lot of heat from that. I went back to her and I said, you know, Saf, as an old white guy, I can understand where they're coming from. I'm not misogynistic. At least my wife would claim that I'm not. I am not homophobic. At least my family members in that community would claim that I'm not. The other aspects of the LGBT community, I would like to think that people I know in that community, including other people I podcasted with, would say that I'm not. So we have to be careful how we say things like, you know, a bunch of old white men in a derogatory way toward the Academy. When, yeah, there's a problem with that whole thing. I'm not saying that that's not a topic. We just, we can't stereotype others in that way too. And she immediately said, no, that's not even how I meant that. And you're absolutely right. I'm going to dial that back. And it's all good. I mean, she took it in exactly the way that I would have hoped, and in a very, it was an appropriate way, and I commend her for that. And it was, you know, it's all good. And I defended her in the feedback too, to people. I'm like, you know, well, I'm not going to address particular pieces of feedback. I don't even have it in front of me. But the point is, you know, I protected my team and defended my team. But then when there were issues that needed to be addressed, I addressed it. And, that was all going well. And I thought that the Forest Cast was really starting to become a solid show with its own fan following and everything. As for me personally, I got to the point where, for the reasons I've already stated at this point, I decided to back out. Publicly, I told people it was personal reasons. I have a wife who has MS, multiple sclerosis. I have a son who has autism spectrum disorder. We've had some difficulties after moving here to Connecticut, job wise, not staying employed, but my wife is in a job that is somewhat abusive. I am in a job where we've had other things going on behind the scenes that I've been trying to help out with that have been taking up a lot of time. So there have been personal things going on in my life that have been taking me away from podcasting. That was true. What I didn't really make public, and I guess I'm doing that now because I feel like because it's shut down, I'm not going to damage the show if I say anything. But part of it was also just the infrastructure made it really hard to get things done. And I felt like I was spending a lot of time spinning my wheels. And I thought, you know, if I'm going to podcast, I want it to be fun. I want to still maintain the passion and not have it feel like something I don't want to be doing anymore. Because I don't ever want that to come across in the shows. So I thought, well, you know, why don't I just go back to random chatter? So I talked to Philip and Dustin. And I said, you know, listen, guys, I'm overwhelmed. I'm drowning here. I need to step back. Whether it be permanently or just as a sabbatical, I don't know. But for right now, I need to step back. I will stick around. For as long as you need me to behind the scenes, I will continue producing the main Forest Cast show if need be. The hosts there can continue running it. I'll take Outer Rim with me because it's a non-Star Wars thing anyway. I wouldn't mind continuing to do, you know, to take the Echo Base name with me because I'm still going to do that show on my own network because, you know, it'll still be me and Lou and hopefully Chris. But I will stick around behind the scenes and do whatever it takes to help make sure the Forest Cast continues. And that it's as seamless a transition for whomever my successor may be and for the audience. And they supported it. They said, I understand completely. And so we talked about who to bring in as a successor. They chose Kyle. Kyle had a vision for where he wanted to go with the network. It was a vision that my perception of it is very radio based. And Tim in the chat room, I'm still amazed they let you take Outer Rim and Echo Base. Honestly, I am too. I wasn't sure they were going to agree with that. And I am very grateful to Philip for allowing me to do that. We also took the Sabacc table with us. Sabacc table actually was created on the Random Chatter Network. We brought it over to the Forcecast when we needed a show for the gaming stuff. And so we're bringing it back. And it's been basically stagnant now anyway. So it's not, you know. And by the way, I want to make it clear here, too. Don't go hating on Philip. And don't go hating on Dustin. Philip has done a lot of wonderful stuff for me, for the Forcecast, for the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be clear here. I don't want there to be hate on Philip or Dustin. Yeah, Philip did a lot of great things for Jimmy and Jason too. Yoda in the chat room. Yes, I'll get back to that in a moment. Anyway, I don't want people hating on Philip. Everybody has a different way of doing things. I understand Jimmy and Jason not getting along with him. I understand them splitting, and they can handle that however they want to. I don't have any animosity toward Philip. He's made some decisions I didn't agree with. There have been some decisions he's made that I strongly disagree with, but it is what it is. That's his prerogative as the owner of all of these websites. He can handle things how he wants to. And I never was under any illusion that I was not an employee of his, well, a volunteer, but I mean, I reported to him. It's his gig. I respect that. And I'm grateful to him and the time that he allowed me to participate in that which he owns. So I went to them. I said, I need to step back. He put Kyle in. Kyle's vision. Someone was asking about that in the chat room. Kyle and I talked about his vision for the network a long time ago. After he left, he wanted to come back, but he wanted things to change. He was wondering if I would, step aside, let me take it then. I told him I wasn't comfortable with that. I thought that he had some strengths and some weaknesses. I wasn't sure how the weaknesses were going to play out. Given that I wasn't able to continue on the network at the moment, given the state things were in, I thought, well, you know, I don't have anyone better to suggest. Maybe he'll work out. His vision was, like I said, very radio oriented. He had some other people he's worked with before that he wanted to bring in. And, beyond that, I don't know. I don't know that the complaints that people have about the show that we've heard so far are as much problems with his vision for the network as much as it is, the opinions that they see Kyle having on things, both Star Wars related and otherwise, and B, his style of show. I've seen some complaints about how the episode went, and I can respect that. I don't necessarily think that that reflects what his vision for the network would have been. I think that that's a separate issue. Some people would have liked it. Some people would have hated it. But I think that's a different thing.
Eric, there was two questions in the chat room.
Okay, go.
One, are we going to find out who shot JFK?
Yes, but not this week.
So, okay, I thought spoilers. That was later. Then the other one was talking about Kyle and him wanting to take over the show. Did he actually ask you to be the showrunner and take over for you, you know, before this whole thing happened recently?
No, he asked to take over the network.
Back when we were first having these discussions about what happened, what was going to change, when he was going to come back, he actually wanted to take over the network from you at that point.
Yes, this was this was sometime in the fall. This was after Justin had left.
Right.
Ballpark, I'm going to say November-ish.
Yeah, I remember the conversation. I just want to make sure for the, you know, clarify for the chat room.
Okay.
That's what was going on. And I think, you know, not to throw anybody under the bus, but back when we had those discussions, we kind of talked about that offline a little bit. And I think one of the things we talked about was some of the same things that I think happened now, really, is reasons why we didn't think that was a great idea then was just the, you know, his age, the lack of experience with this kind of stuff, I think.
I had some concerns about not so much about his performance on the microphone, but his performance of being in the position of directing the network, not so much as the structure of the network.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would do fine as far as that side of things and making the trains run on time, so to speak. But I think there was the issue of leading the people on the network.
And if I'm talking in turn, I'm sorry, but I mean,
no, go for it.
From my point of view, one of the things that makes a good, whether it's a network director or a boss at work or somebody in charge of a store, whatever the case may be, a couple of things. I mean, it all has to do with experience, really. It's not that it's an age thing. It's just
right,
if you don't have that experience to it, you're going to fall down and hurt yourself a couple of times before you get up and run with the ball and make sure see that sports analogy I just made there.
I didn't catch it because
yeah, see, but there's some of that is it's hard to do if you don't have the experience to do it, and you can't get the experience without doing it wrong a few times, really. And yes. I think that was one of the concerns I had about Kyle back when that whole discussion happened last fall, was that I don't think he would be ready for that kind of thing. I mean, he's great in the mic. I think he's going to be a great, radio personality at some point down the road. We all know he's great on the mic and that kind of stuff, but leading the network and dealing with criticism online and, we all know how that can be,
right.
Is just very difficult.
Yeah. And this will be a learning experience for him. I hope that's not coming across as derogatory or anything. I mean, I mean that in a beneficial way. And he will improve as a person as a result, as we all should. And that's a great thing. That's awesome. That's encouraging. Everybody has faults, and Kyle has some too. And unfortunately, there are many people who would argue that we're seeing some of those faults. Well, he'll have an opportunity to work through them and hopefully we'll change, just like we have all had opportunities too. But like you said, Lou, I mean, some of that involves life experience and people get life experience at different age. I know some pretty old people who haven't really done much with their lives so they don't have a lot of life experience. And then I know other people who at a very young age have had lots of life experiences and have learned from those experiences. And so, things happen at different ages for different people based on different experiences. This is not about bashing Kyle. I'm not interested in doing that. Kyle, what work he has done toward the Forcecast Network, he has taken very seriously and is very passionate about. And I commend him for that. I can't fault him for that. And I don't know that he would not have been able to make a successful network out of this had the Forcecast stayed up and running. And I understand the decision for shutting it down. I don't know whether it was Dustin is the one who shut it down, because he's the one who has the access to shut it down. I don't know whether it was his decision or Philip's decision. I was not involved in that at all. I fully understand, given the drama and everything that was going on, why they chose to shut it down. I don't know that I would have made the same decision, but it wasn't my decision to make. If they had not made that decision, if Kyle had stayed on as the network director, I imagine that it would have turned out okay in the end. The people who don't enjoy his show would have left. Other people who do enjoy his show, and there are people who enjoyed the show, let's be clear, those people would stay. He would gain a new audience, and things would be what they are. I mean, this is a big community of a lot of people, and that's why there are so many Star Wars podcasts out there, and that's why so many of them have grown to be successful. Back in the day, something Kyle was saying that I have a different perspective on than he does. He was talking about bringing the Forcecast back to the level of glory that it once had. Forcecast used to be the number one Star Wars podcast on the internet. It was the flagship for Star Wars podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to be the flagship for Star Wars podcasting again.
Yeah, the field is very wide now.
Yeah, and there's not a lot only of is it
great podcasts out there.
Yes, see, that's the thing. You hit the both thing, points.
You know, us going forward, we want to have our shows that are Star Wars related and shows that aren't Star Wars related, and we want the Star Wars ones to be part of that chorus,
right?
I don't have any intentions of saying we're going to be the best Star Wars podcast out there. We're going to be a very good podcast, and we're going to have fun doing it. But I want to interact with these people and have them on our shows and us on their shows. I want to be part of that community.
And that was another thing that we didn't really get to do a lot previously. There were some concerns by higher ups of interactions with competitors within the community, which isn't really something that you and I ever looked at that way. But anyway, what you just said being said, I don't fault Kyle for having the goal of being the number one Star Wars podcast on the internet. I think that is a good goal to have, as long as you temper it with the reality that, as you said, there's a wide scope of shows now, and several of them are also very high quality. We are in a world now where the Star Wars podcasting community has grown as such that no one show is ever going to take that big of a lead again. All due respect to Jimmy and Jason, not even Rebel Force Radio. There's just too many other shows or too many other networks now. That no one set of hosts is ever going to get that far in the lead in front of everybody else ever again. It's just not going to happen. So there will be no return to the glory days of the days of old of the Forcecast. Even if the Forcecast had stayed up and running, it's just, that's not the world we live in anymore. All due respect to Jimmy and Jason. I mean, even if they had stayed with the Forcecast all this time, there would still be other podcasters who are coming up. And, we would have the same community of podcasters we have now. I mean, that's just the world that we're in.
And all these shows are going to have different little niches that fit different people's needs and wants. I mean, Jimmy and Jason do a great job. I mean, they do some fantastic stuff and they're plugged into different parts of the community than we are. Mm-hmm. If you get to see them do the, Smoker's Gambit at Celebration this past year, they did a great job. I mean, it's amazing.
Now, listen, I want to say something about Jimmy and Jason. I don't like their main show that much. I love their Rebels Declassified show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the fact that I don't like their main show that much doesn't mean that their main show sucks. It means that it's not my style.
Right, it's not your taste.
Right.
Yep.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean that they're not putting out a great show. It doesn't mean that they should be looked down upon for that. It's just not my thing as a listener. But then there are other shows that I do enjoy that other people don't like because the production quality isn't as good. But I can overlook that because I like the content. There's so much out there that we can choose from that it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I don't like some of the fun things they did, the gimmicky things they kept bringing up over and over again. And it just turned me the wrong way. So I just stopped listening.
Yeah.
They did a great show. I liked listening to them talk about stuff. It was the other things that were thrown in that kind of threw me off. And like some people won't watch, one late night show versus other because they don't like the way the host does the jokes or the way the host does, interactions between him and guests. I'm sure people got turned off when they switched over from Jay Leno to, I'm trying to blank, of course, who's the host on Tonight Show now?
Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon.
Mm-hmm.
Completely different show. I like both hosts. I watch both shows, but I'm sure some people turned away and went somewhere else when Jimmy Fallon took over because it wasn't their cup of tea. That's always going to happen. And you mentioned that before about, fans of Kyle's that were staying with the show and so forth and going on. You're going to have those first few weeks of people that dislike the change being very vocal about it.
Yeah.
And they're going to take to Twitter. They're going to take to Facebook and they're going to make themselves known. After they get tired of doing that, they're going to go away and then the show will stabilize with a new set of fans and it will move on from there. I mean, that's how all these things are going to work, really. I mean, if there was a change to RFR radio, that would be the same kind of thing. There'd be some people that were very vocally upset. And once that died down, it would be a new stabilized fan base going forward with whatever the new format was.
Right. All right, so to keep moving along here, the new structure originally was going to be that we were going to take Echo Base, Outer Rim, and Sabacc Table over to Random Chatter. The Forcecast Network, it was going to keep IndieCast by Ed DeLista again, another person who has been very consistent, doing his own thing, has his own system going. Great guy. I wish all the best to him. And also Jedi Journals with Jay and Chris Wyman. So Kyle stepped in. I told him what I told Dustin and Philip. I said, listen, I'll stick around as long as you need. I've got, you know, the passwords for the different accounts. I can show you how to do different things. You already know how to post in the posting system that we use, and you already have like access to Libsyn to post the episodes because you've been doing Galactic Top 40 Radio, etc. But, you know, I told him I'm here and will continue to be here for whatever the transition involves. So I had also told Paul, Megan, and Saf that I was leaving, and I hated that. Was probably the most painful part of all of this to this point, was having to go to them and saying, you know, listen, I'm leaving. And they're like, well, what's going to happen to us? And I had to tell them, I don't know. And I felt like crap for saying that. And I apologized to them. I said, yeah, I have to leave. And they said, no, we understand. You're right. And I said, listen, I will advocate for you guys as much as I can. And Megan said, well, can we set up a meeting where all of us sit down and talk so we can figure out what's going on? And I said, yeah. And they said, okay, what are we doing in the meantime? I said, in the meantime, to my knowledge, we're going to keep making the Forcecast show. You guys keep recording it. I'll keep producing it and posting it. And we'll go from there. This was on one of the nights we were supposed to record. And by the end of this discussion, they were like, I'm not in the mood to try to act happy and do a show right now. I said, I understand. You know, we'll resume next week. Well, the next week was when we had the meeting. And Kyle started out the meeting. In Kyle's defense, he was feeling a little bit under the weather. I don't know how much of that affected this or not. I just want to throw that out there in an attempt to be fair about the whole thing. He said, so, how up to date are you guys on Rebels? And they said, well, yeah, we're definitely up to date. Megan said, yeah, I write all kinds of Rebels stuff all the time. And he said, okay, well, would you guys have any interest in taking over Rebels Roundtable? Because I need some hosts to do that. And they all individually agreed that they didn't really have the time or the availability to take on another show. And he said, okay, is there anything else you'd like to do in the network? And they said, no, we're good. And so Kyle started talking more about, you know, things he wanted to do with the network. He wanted to fix the consistency with which things were being released, which, again, a little sidebar, that was a problem. And I admit that. Again, another thing, it was my responsibility. And the shows, while the feedback was that they were very good, the feedback also was that it would have been nice to have them released more consistently. So he was continuing on, and Paul at one point says, let me just stop you real quick, Kyle. Let's cut to the chase. Are we being let go? And Kyle said, well, that's basically what I'm saying here. Yes. I have a vision of where I want the show to go and, how I want it to be. And I have people I want to bring in for that. And, I appreciate the time you guys spent on the show, but I don't have a place for you in this show. If there's something else you want to do on the network, that's fine. But I'm letting you go from the Forcecast. And they took it in stride. You could tell they were hurt. I told them at one point, one of them asked, you know, Eric, do you have anything to say? And I said, this is soul crushing to me. This is, I don't have anything I have to say at this point is moot, but I apologize for having failed you guys before. And for finding myself in a position where I now need to leave because I don't think it's fair to you guys. And I don't even know what to say. So that was the end of that. So that was the first kind of blow up on Twitter. They got on Twitter and they told people what was going on. But they did it in such a way where I never saw one case where they were trying to instigate any drama. I want to be very clear about that. Kyle also got on Twitter and pointed out that he was now running the network. And that, okay, chat room, Tim, not your fault, Eric. Tim, I really appreciate that, man. It was my responsibility, though. So, and that's part of how this works. But anyway, so, and to be fair, I didn't really see anything that Kyle did to try to instigate drama either. Friday, the first episode came out, and people responded on Twitter pretty viciously about it. There were a lot of complaints that I thought were pretty valid. Some I thought were a little bit harsh. And then things kind of took off on Twitter again. This is the second Twitter storm, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm okay. Spencer Brinkerhoff said in Rebel Force Radio's roundtable Facebook forum that Kyle asked him not to host Rebels Roundtable, and then he went on RFR's Rebel show. Okay. No, I didn't know that. And he did a great job on that show, as he always does. So, yeah. More power to him.
Hey, if I could pause you for a second, Eric, sure. There's a couple of questions that were a while ago that I was going to bring up.
Yeah, go
you
for
were
it.
On a roll, so
absolutely.
I do want to go there.
I just don't want to keep people ever... too long. It's already been like almost an hour and a half. I'm almost at the end of this, but go ahead.
Yoda asked if you would ever consider appearing on Rebels Declassified with Jimmy and Jason.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Listen, Jimmy and Jason, even when they were upset about leaving, let me rephrase that. I don't think they were ever upset about leaving. They were upset about what was going on with the Force cast and they left. Even in the midst of all that, they never treated me badly. The few interactions I've had with them, and it's been very few, but the few interactions I've had have always been polite, cordial. They sent me an email after they heard that I left, and congratulated me and wished me the best of luck. I would totally, if they ever invited me on the show, I would go in a heartbeat.
Okay. Nope. I figured that was the answer. I just wanted to ask you that there. And also, just to clarify, IndieCast and Jedi Journals, are they still being done for the ForceCast network, even though there's no ForceCast show?
Excellent question. I know for a fact Jedi Journals is going to continue.
Okay.
I do not know anything about IndieCast. I assume it's going to continue, and I hope that it will continue, but I don't know.
Okay, fair enough.
Yoda, I don't plan to reach out to them about Declassified. I feel like I feel like I am not as important to Rebels discussions as they are and as that show. I feel unqualified to be on that show. I enjoy Rebels. I keep up with it. I don't like asking myself onto other shows. I'm always flattered when people ask me onto other shows, and I'm always honored to do them, but I don't generally ask myself into other people. I feel like I'm asking myself into their house. Like, it's weird.
Oh, see, now I feel bad because that's how I got on to the Random Chatter Network.
No, and I'm glad. I'm okay with other people doing that.
Can I record with you?
I just don't feel like, I feel like they don't want me begging my way onto their show.
I was like total fanboy. I was like, hey, sure.
Yeah, no, and that worked out really well. Okay, Tim said Vanessa in the chat room. I don't know what he means by that, but maybe he's hoping that I go off on a rave about Vanessa Marshall.
Yeah, start him on that again. Thanks, Tim. Yeah.
Yeah. I won't go down that rabbit hole right now.
Don't have to encourage him. You know, he...
All right, so what other questions before I keep going?
That was it. That was the only two I had. Sorry.
All right, so after the second Twitter storm last night, earlier today we had a Facebook post. This was posted by Bailey, who is going to be was going to have been one of the show hosts. I'm going to read this because it was then deleted afterwards. I'm reading it I kind of feel like, you know, it was deleted and that's fine. However, it in and of itself caused a lot of the drama that was on Twitter that is now referenced by a lot of other people. So I think it should be addressed so that people know what's being talked about. I think now there's a lot of stuff with no context. I'm going to try to read this as quickly as I can, so bear with me. Important announcement. We need to address a few things, and frankly, we're pissed. A lot of people have been spreading rumors that people were canned because of race, gender, sexuality, etc. This is absolute nonsense. I'm going to pause after each of these paragraphs here. I agree. I want to be clear. I have no reason to believe that Kyle got rid of Paul, Saf, and Megan because of anything about who they are or what their beliefs are. It's my personal belief that he wanted a more professional radio-style production. And that's not who they are. That's not the type of show they do. It did not surprise me that he let them go. I never once entertained the theory that it was about any of this stuff. Now, looking at some of the stuff he's posted in social media in the past, I understand why a lot of people are jumping to that conclusion. It is a logical jump, I guess, based on a few things I've had pointed out to me in the last 12 hours. So I think that he may have contributed, inadvertently to people having that opinion of him. I stand by the fact that I do not believe that he removed them for those reasons. Moving on. First of all, this wasn't an uprooting. This was short notice for many of us as well. Some people left due to personal reasons, and others, after having a meeting about the future of the network, it was realized that either full-time commitment wasn't going to be possible due to other commitments, or that any progress at all wasn't going to be possible, as was the case for Rebels Roundtable, which had not produced an episode since October. So some people were let go in order to allow the network to actually proceed, because literally nothing was getting done. And what was had no consistency to it regarding releases, and it needed to change. This change was short notice for us as well, as the previous network director basically gave a week's notice, and all of the potholes needed to be filled within that time. And in that week, things needed to change to progress or stay the way they were and not go anywhere. All right. First of all, to say that, quote, literally nothing was getting done. Well, I mean, at the very minimum, it's completely inaccurate. So there's that. No consistency regarding releases. The releases were inconsistent. I wouldn't say there was no consistency, but yeah, no, they, especially as of late, they had been more inconsistent. And that's one of the reasons I stepped back, because I'm like, listen, somebody else would do a better job in this role for me, and that's fine. Basically gave a week's notice. That is completely false. I still have... To my knowledge, even though the Forcecast is shut down, I think I still even have access to different parts of the system. The whole point was that I was going to stick around and help the transition as long as possible. I think Kyle, who did not write this, I think Kyle would also concur with that I have offered my services to help the transition as much as needed. Paul, Megan, and Saf were ready to go and ready to record another episode. If Kyle needed more time to get his changes up and running, we were willing to continue. And I would have expected us to be able to do like a goodbye episode or something. So he was the one that made that decision. Anything else in that paragraph that, I don't know. I take issue with, as I've put it elsewhere, the impression that the last 3 years have been this apocalyptic wasteland of Star Wars podcasting, where nothing was getting done, no growth happened on the network, the fans were being left behind, as he stated in his podcast episode. Yes, episodes were not released with consistency as of late.
Mm-hmm. That being said, I think you can really say, I mean,
right.
That saying being said, the fans are left behind, saying there's been no growth, those are all just completely inaccurate statements.
Right. We had growth. We had great fan experiences. We had great fan feedback.
And, you know, I'll be the first one to admit, if I'm used to a show being released on a regular schedule, and I usually count on that to have that for my, you know, Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever day it is in my car to go to work with, and I don't get it, it's like, ugh.
Yes. No, it's absolutely frustrating.
I mean, definitely first world problems. I mean, it's like, you know, I'm sorry, but it does throw me off. It's like, oh, man, now my whole day's, you know, out of whack because I didn't get to listen to such and such. It sounds stupid, but it does mean a lot to some people. And I totally get that. And that frustrated me when we couldn't record even like Echo Base. I'm like, oh, we'll miss this week. Okay. You know, it's not the end of the world, but I feel bad, you know, and I know you felt bad, but there's times when you just can't control some things, you know, I mean,
sure, but then you should try to mitigate that as much as possible, and you should try to make it so that that's an exception.
Mm-hmm.
And it was happening more often than it should have. Listen, I'm not going to try to defend that. It was unquestionably an issue.
Oh, sure.
But to take that over that period of time and that singular issue and to basically dismiss the entirety of anything that was done over the last 3 years and all of the hard work that all of the various hosts have put into the network, at a minimum, it's insulting. It's demoralizing, not that it really matters anymore because all of those people would then have been gone. But, I mean, it's insulting and it's flat out inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway. This is a network that he had also been a part of in the past, and he was talking about people leaving abruptly. He is one of those people, so...
Yeah.
But... moving on with Bailey's Facebook post here. Second of all, we've been accused of, quote, bringing back the two white guy standard. We've done one show, one, and to see that kind of, quote, Tumblr attitude attacking anyone for their skin color or sex is disgusting and pitiful. We're planning on bringing multiple people, including women, people from multiple other countries across the globe, and many more, and simply haven't yet for simplicity's sake, because, again, we've done one episode. We're all about diversity in podcasting. We absolutely are. But we're here to bring you the latest in your weekly dose of Star Wars. Doesn't matter if you're white, black, male, female, gay, straight, or from another planet. If you're here for any reason other than Star Wars, you're missing the point of the Forcecast. Again, we are absolutely 200% about bringing more people in from all representations and bringing up discussions. But we're here to talk Star Wars on the Forcecast. Kyle and Dave fully acknowledge that they are not the most knowledgeable when it comes to the EU or various topics, so we are bringing in fellow hosts who are, such as myself, and their knowledge and conversation should be what brings you to them, not the color of their skin or what they have in their pants. There are some valid points here. I mean, listen, I'm a white guy. I like to think that what I say, either it has merit or it doesn't have merit.
Mm-hmm.
I too am all for diversity in Star Wars and in the community. In fact, I was proud of the fact that, on the Forcecast, we had people of different races and different sexes. And for all I know, different sexual persuasions. I don't know because I don't care to ask people about that because I want to hear what they have to say.
Mm.
So I was proud of the fact that we had that on the Forcecast. That's something I hope to get on the Random Chatter network as well. So I understand where they're coming from here. The way they put some of the things, a little combative perhaps, but okay. Thirdly, this is not the same show you're used to. We know that. We're not trying to be, for the exact reasons above. The previous show would encourage that sort of behavior, as we're currently seeing on Twitter, and we're not having it. We're adults, not children. When it comes down to it, if you like it, you like it, and if you don't, you don't. We understand that a sudden change like this is severely difficult to accept, especially with literally no warning, and if you choose to unsubscribe, we won't blame you. We'll be saddened that you're leaving and not giving us a chance, but we won't miss you. Kyle and David podcasted for many years, as well as myself as an upcoming host, and we have our type of audience, and it isn't the type of person who would stop listening to a Star Wars podcast because it's two white guys. Again, if you like the show, we're incredibly happy to have you and hoping you'll stick around. But if you're listening to the Forcecast simply for the previous hosts, and we know there are quite a few who were, then please follow the previous hosts in their podcasting endeavors. We will be the better people in this and kindly direct you toward them. They are great people and deserve your following. Okay, well, we will be the better people in this implies that the other people aren't being good enough people and that you're better than them or us. So I'm curious where she's getting that opinion. Also, the we're adults, not children. I mean, in making that point, aren't you kind of behaving like children?
Yeah.
I mean, at least to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, to wrap it up real quick, we realize this is going to lose us listeners, but all three main hosts have talked and have decided that they would rather have 500. We're talking not the three hosts, not Paul, Megan, and Saf, but the three hosts who are going to be doing the upcoming show, or were to have been doing. And have decided that we would rather have 500 listeners who listen and love the show than 1,000 and have half of them hate it. So please give us a chance. And if we are not the podcast you're interested in, please head over to the previous host's podcasts. Again, we are all aware this is going to upset a lot of people and lose a lot of listeners, but rebuilding takes time and we need your support. We hope that you as the Forcecast listeners will be above the petty rumors as we will be open and honest with you. There was a time when the Forcecast was the number one in Star Wars podcasts, and although it will possibly never hit where it once was, we are going to do whatever we can to get as close as we can, and we can only do that with your support. Thank you. All right.
Yeah.
I responded. I said I'd like to chime in if I may, being someone who was there for this meeting and everything. I'll just summarize what I said. In point number one, I said that, again, from what I've observed, Kyle letting them go had nothing to do with race or sex or anything like that. Number two, it's been stated several times that they were offered another show on the network and they declined. I feel I'm reading this verbatim now. I feel that the timing of the conversation is relevant. They were offered Rebels Roundtable, and then they explained their schedules didn't allow them to do an additional show. Later in the conversation, they were let go. It was not the other way around. I talked about the fact that I offered to stick around behind the scenes. I was not giving a week's notice. The constant statements that the network was not going anywhere and that we were, quote, leaving fans behind is also unfair, insulting, and simply untrue. Et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, so I try, given that they were talking about, quote, being open and honest with us, I thought that I would expand upon that honesty. That was what happened on Facebook. So people and to be fair, I want to point this out. Dave, is that the other guy who was on the show with Kyle?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. So Dave responded to my post and thanked me for it, and went and edited portions of the original post to reflect the correct information. I want to give him props for doing that. That was a proper thing for him to have done. And I don't know Bailey. I've literally never communicated with her before. I'm not dissing her. I don't want to start some kind of hate machine against her, period. Let's let all of this drama end. I bring this up only again to give context for what you guys are seeing on Twitter right now. And so that all of this can be put on the table and then we can get past it. Okay. So that's what's been going on. Of course, that caused more things to blow up on Twitter. And Chris responded. Now, Lou, I haven't talked about you and Chris so far. We brought Echo Base, Outer Rim, and Sabacc Table over to Random Chatter. We're continuing those shows as they were. Those are the only shows on the Forcecast that you were on.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of got dragged over here one way or another, whether you asked to be or not.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I was on Random Chatter before I was on Forcecast.
That's true.
And I was actually running Random Chatter for you while you were on hiatus doing, I think maybe when you were doing
Yes. Yeah, I actually Forcecast. Turned that over
it,
to
it
you.
Was basically me and Jay.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, you've been, I want to thank you as a personal friend and also as a co-host. You've been very supportive through this whole thing as well. But you've also been completely removed from all the drama, which I also respect.
And I enjoy that. Yes.
Yeah, I bet you do. I'm only getting involved because I feel a sense of responsibility to try to quell all the drama and to get people to go back to the sense of community that we're supposed to have as Star Wars fans. But I want to point out that you basically, you're just continuing on the shows you were already on. The shows just have a new home. Chris McGuffin did the same thing. I asked if he would also help us handle our social networking like he did for the Forcecast, and he agreed. And so he had been doing both social networking for Random Chatter and for the Forcecast. Again, we did not have any kind of open war going on. None of this was, I mean, this was stuff that was, the drama was started by the Twitter followers. And I want to be clear. I did not see anything from Kyle. There were statements Kyle made that disappointed me and some that insulted and offended me. But those are disagreements that I have with Kyle. Kyle and I are not at war. We've been in communication about logistical stuff with the network. There's no war going on between me and Kyle. So I don't want there to be the impression that there is, and I don't want anybody to start to try to start one either. So I want to be very, very clear about that. Kyle, I did not witness anything where he tried to instigate drama regarding this entire thing. So just to throw that out there. So back to the Facebook post. Amidst all the other stuff on Twitter, Chris McGuffin got called out saying, well, if you don't speak up with your opinion, then you're condoning everything that's going on. And Chris said, you know what? You're right. So he went and responded to the Facebook post. I don't happen to have it here in front of me. It was a very appropriate post. And I say appropriate in the sense that he was posting to the Facebook account as a member of to the Forcecast Facebook page as a member of the Forcecast. And I believe that it was worded appropriately in the sense that he was not throwing his coworkers under the bus. He was addressing the issue. Things got back to Dustin and possibly Philip. I don't know. And Dustin said, okay, enough is enough. And he shut it down. I don't know much about what happened behind the scenes there. If I did, I probably wouldn't feel it was appropriate to discuss too much of it anyway. I don't know if Philip was involved or not. It is what it is. They apparently felt like going forward with Kyle was no longer going to be a good decision. And at this point, I'm throwing my own interpretation on this. They must not have wanted to continue with any other hosts. They did state that Jay and Chris are going to continue, and otherwise they're pulling the plug. Now, again, they didn't mention IndyCast directly, but IndyCast, again, Ed's been doing his own thing there, which is awesome. So we haven't really had to interact with him. Every time I have interacted with Ed, he has been incredible. He's an awesome guy. But my point is, logistically, we've never had to interact with him because he keeps his own show afloat, which is great. So I imagine Dustin may have just, it may have just been an omission. He wasn't thinking of IndyCast because, of course, he's thinking Star Wars, and IndyCast isn't Star Wars. It's, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't know what the state is on that. That's basically everything that happened. I've got my own opinions on the whole thing with, you know, I think the diversity in Star Wars, the fact that we're conversing about this, it's good. It's important. It's not just that we desire diversity in the Star Wars fan community. We need that diversity. I don't want to have to apologize for being white or being a male, and I don't want to be told that my opinions don't count as a result. And there actually has been some of that on Twitter recently, which has been kind of disappointing. But I mean, there's nothing I can do about that. All I can do is, as a member of the Star Wars fan community, continue to do what I can to promote diversity so that all opinions are reflected by all of us, mm-hmm. and treat all of my peers as equals. So,
I had the same thought earlier today that I almost felt bad for being a older white guy. I'm like, but it shouldn't matter. I mean,
right.
You know, the same way it shouldn't matter anything else, it shouldn't matter that I am what I am either. So, and I hope we try to bring that across, because it's not why we do this. It's, you know,
right.
You know, it's about the content, not about who we are and what our opinions are on other things that mean nothing about this, you know? So
the fact that we are white and we are male doesn't matter and shouldn't matter. It should matter that diversity is represented. And it does matter, and it matters to us. So, I mean, that's really all we can say about that. The whole SJW thing, a quick thing on that, the social justice warriors, you know, listen, social injustice does happen. I talked about that before. We've talked about it on other shows before. It's there. It happens, and it shouldn't happen. That being said, there have been some people out there who... we've had go around and policing every single little thing anybody says. I remember Chris was responded to a tweet about something that Ashley Eckstein had posted for her universe. I don't remember the purse or shoes or something like that. And he was like, wow, if I were a woman, I would totally wear those. And someone chewed him out. And it's like, well, you don't have to be a woman to wear those and blah, blah, blah. And well, right. I get it. That's not what Chris was saying.
Right.
For yeah, Chris.
I remember that.
For Chris, he would not wear them as a man. He would wear them as a woman, because that is his personal view on how he wants to be himself, and there's nothing wrong with that. So to jump down his throat on it, that's going a little too far. And Chris has never taken any stance that was anything but supportive of any sort of diversity. I think that that's where this whole SJW acronym has come into play. But the problem is now that has become, you know, the people who were tired of the battlefront all the time started using this. And then it pushed even further to the point where anybody who doesn't want to hear anything about diversity is throwing this acronym around. And it's being used in an attempt to immediately shut down any discussion of diversity by dismissively labeling people as zealots.
Mm.
And it's not fair. I want to see this whole SJW acronym retired. You know, if people are being zealots, they're being zealots. Call them a zealot. But not everybody who brings up the topic of diversity is being a zealot. And these issues are real, and they need to be discussed. Deal with it. Welcome to 2016. Anyway, so that's my opinion on some of the more general issues that have come up. I give opinions on, you know, the differences between podcasting versus radio, things like that. But I mean, anyway, that's it. I wanted to, the whole point of this whole thing was I want us to go back to being a community. Some of the stuff I've seen recently is, you know, this is not what I want the Forcecast to be known for. This is not what I want the legacy of the hosts that have come before right. to be associated with. This is not what I want to be associated with going forward. You know, we have a new home here. Paul, Megan, and Saf, and Spencer, and Justin, and John Beerley, they all have a home with Random Cheddar should they ever choose to come here. Our doors are open to them, always. They all have gigs doing other things. Paul, Megan, and Saf. Paul's been hinting on Twitter that he'll have an announcement for something very soon, and that's exciting, and I'm excited to be able to fully support that. You know, we're all happy moving on. You know? Be happy for them. And I want to throw all this out on the table. Again, now that it's shut down, I feel like we can kind of do this. Honestly, not everything was perfect behind the scenes. There's a lot more that goes into something like this, as people realize. And when you're talking about a family of basically three different websites tied in together, like the Force.net, Rebel Scum, and the Forcecast are, it gets complicated. It has to be. And, you know, again, thank you to Philip and thank you to Dustin for all of the opportunities that they've given us. And for what they've given you, too. I mean, yeah, we did mm-hmm. the Forcecast, but we did it because Philip and Dustin gave us a place to do it. And thanks to Jimmy and Jason, because we had a show to go do because they had already paved the way and built a force cast into what it had been when they left it. Listen, you know, let's lose the hate, you know? Are there any other questions? You know, I'm shocked that we've lost almost nobody from the chat room over the last.
I know.
Oh my gosh! Like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I must point out that you were wrong in your estimate of an hour.
I was way off.
I like pointing out when you're wrong. It's just it you know. Well,
thanks.
Hold
on a second. In my own defense here, I've claimed to be wrong quite a bit in this recording. Quite a bit about some pretty serious things.
Yeah, you know.
Just but saying.
That's just one little thing I could point out. And the ambulance / hearse from the...
okay.
Anyways. There was a question from the chat room.
Yes.
If we're going to have a female host on Random Chatter.
As soon as we can find one. We're not going to have a token female. We're not going to get one on just so we... Oh, yes, and we have a female because we support diversity. No.
Exactly, right.
We are looking for hosts to come on the network to do new shows, whether they be male, female, black, white, straight, gay, whatever religion, whatever country. We don't care. We want quality content. We feel like quality content, when possible, also includes diversity. I don't have anyone lined up at the moment, I'll be honest. I was kind of hoping that Paul, Megan, and staff would come over. They chose not to. I support that, too.
Well, at the very least, we do still have to do that episode we're going to have with my wife and your wife on.
Yes.
And I did. There's that lost tape that I have. I think you have of my wife recording with me on the cruise ship. So maybe.
Oh, yes. I haven't even listened to that yet.
It's riveting, I'm sure.
A question in the chat room. Maybe Lou can pitch his voice high. Oh, to pretend to be Mrs. Blythe. Never mind. Okay.
It's not where I thought. The other question was, they want Mrs. Blythe on the show. So.
Yeah, so, man.
Oh, that was the first time I heard Eric dodge a question tonight.
Which question?
About having your wife on the show.
No, I said I'll have her on the show. I mean, not like permanently, as, oh my gosh, no. No. No, that's not going to happen. She'll probably take over the show and kick me off the network.
She might.
No, seriously, as soon as we're able to. So, any other questions from the chat room? I really appreciate you guys sticking around. I can't believe that, like, we've lost so few people from, I mean, this is 2 hours, guys.
I know, I'm surprised.
I feel honored that you guys want to hear this for so long.
But I think it was, you know, therapeutic. You got things off your chest that you wanted to talk about, and we've got the...
No,
you
know, no,
the facts out there,
Lou. What? Let me be clear. I did not want to talk about this stuff. Really, this is not. I don't feel.
I'm
stuttering. This has not been therapeutic for me. This has been traumatic.
Right. I mean, neither one of us want this to be about the fact that there's controversy. We want to talk about fun stuff.
Right.
We don't want to have to do this, but...
Well, and here's the other thing. I still feel a great deal of personal responsibility for the state that the Forcecast has been in recently. And, you know, people have been very supportive and saying, listen, Eric, it's not your fault. There are a lot of facets of this situation that's going on. And if I go with the assumption that they're correct, for the sake of argument... Yeah, it might not be my fault, but it's still my responsibility. And there are things that have been my fault. So I still feel a sense of responsibility for that. And I feel like, you know, these are some major failures. I've been podcasting for over 10 years and most of it has been successful. And, you know, I feel like I failed Spencer. I feel like I failed Paul Saff and Megan. And I feel like I failed the audience in making the trains run on time, so to speak, the Patreon issues. And, you know, I'm very comfortable confidently saying that with Random Chatter, that won't be an issue. It won't be a concern because the infrastructure is set up in such a way to be able to facilitate the things that we are doing.
Right. And I was just going to say the best way to, you know, counteract that is to do it well right now with Random Chatter.
Right. Well, and but it'll take some time probably to gain the confidence of the listeners. And that's fine because we're in this for the long haul and we're going to do that. And I'm confident that that will happen. But, you know, it's embarrassing for me to do this. So I hope it was therapeutic for the people listening. And I hope that the people I've mentioned in this recording aren't angry with me. And if they are, I hope they'll forgive me. But I feel like you know, this is part of the history of the Forcecast. I messed up a lot, too. I am at fault as much as anybody else I may have mentioned here. So, you know, it is what it is. And it was, you know, the Forcecast was an important part of the Star Wars fan history. And that's something to be proud of. Anybody who has been associated with the Forcecast, I think, has something to be proud of. And I want to thank everybody who's been involved with the Forcecast, both as someone who was at one point the network director and at other points just a listener who was not directly involved. I want to thank you. Dodging the question about my favorite sandwich, I'm going to say ham and cheese with mayonnaise. So there you go. It's now public. Ham and cheese with mayonnaise. That would be our episode title if there weren't something more fitting to title it. And Lou, thank you for taking 2 hours out of your Saturday night to...
Well, you know, like I said in the chat room, you know, I had to be here because our policy of blaming the host that isn't there, I didn't want to have all this on me.
I forgot all about that. Yeah,
that's... Oh, I better show up.
That's a good point.
No. In all seriousness, it was good to be here. I'm glad I could join in this. It does, you know, not something we wanted to do, but something, you know, we felt we had to do.
Right. And I'm glad that we did. I don't regret doing this. I again, if it helps anybody out there, I'm... And Lou, I want to thank you as well for sticking with us through all of this. And on a personal level with me, you've been a great friend. And I'm glad you're here tonight to, as silly as this is going to sound, to give me some emotional support through doing this. Because this is, you know, this is weird. Like, this is the weirdest conversation I've ever had on a microphone.
Yep. One last question here from the chat room. They had, will Echo Base become the Random Chatter Star Wars podcast? And yes, absolutely it will.
Yes.
That is our intent, to make that one our news/discussion show and be part of the Star Wars community with that show.
Yes. And in fact, we will be actively branding Echo Base as, like, when we're participating in the Star Wars fan community, we will be branding ourselves as the Echo Base podcast as much as the Random Chatter Network. Other things within Random Chatter, like the Crash Couch or the Outer Rim, things like that, that's still going to just be more, you know, hey, that's a Random Chatter show. But Echo Base is, you know, it still falls under the Random Chatter banner, but it's something that we want to say, this is our spot for Star Wars. We want to,
sure,
to promote, yeah, that really, really strongly. We still plan to have just as active a presence in the Star Wars community as we had before. In fact, probably more so. We plan to interact more closely now with other podcasts and other websites and mm-hmm. things like that in a way that we couldn't really before.
Yep.
So that's exciting. I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, I am too. Like I said, I'd like to be part of that community more than we ever have been.
Yeah.
Oh, and there was a question that we skipped before. I wanted to bring it up before, but there was questions about the listenership for Forcecast, what the numbers okay. were, just in rough numbers, if you can.
I'm going to be honest with you. Even our own staff used to ask me that. I used to try to avoid that, answering that question, because I feel like... You know, put out a quality show first, and then the numbers will show up. I never really chased the numbers. I chased the content. That being said, the numbers reflect the quality of the content, so you can't really dismiss them either. I will say that the last time I paid attention to the numbers, it was last year, either before or after Celebration, I forget which. And across the network as a whole... So the Force Cast episodes, Jedi Journals, Sabacc Table, Echo Base. I don't think Sabacc Table was active at the time. And I'm not sure Rebels Roundtable was either. So basically those four shows for the entire month, we were getting about 150,000 downloads a month. Now, again, that's, you know, the same person could be downloading four episodes of the Force Cast, four episodes of Echo Base, and an episode of Jedi Journals, and, you know, one other random show that might show up that month. So that's 10 right there. So when I say 150,000 downloads, it could be 15,000 listeners. So I don't want to inflate it and make it sound like it was more than it really was. I'm just saying that the last statistic I looked at was that statistic.
Yeah, I got to come clean. I think, you know, of those 150, probably 75 were mine. You know,
I'll take it.
I did a lot of downloading. I, you know, 75,000 downloads a month was pretty much my mine. Yeah.
Okay. I'll send you the check later.
Nice.
I miss Lost Chatter too. I miss Nathan too. Nathan, I'm glad you're there in the chat room. Nathan from flickchart.com. We've referenced, I don't even know if Nathan knows how much we've referenced Flickchart, not only on Random Chatter, but also on Outer Rim.
Mm-hmm.
We reference Flickchart quite consistently, I would say, from time to time. So, yeah, Nathan actually used to be on Random Chatter with us. And Nathan, we need to get you back on the show, too. We got to talk, man.
Well, actually, if you haven't been seeing Facebook Messenger today...
Oh, I have. I just don't know how much we're supposed to...
Yeah, well, I mean, but, yeah. You know, there's a possibility of things coming up down the road. So,
yes.
You know.
Yeah. And that's the nice thing about being where we're at right now. I think that we're in a position to be able to grow and yet put a solid foundation underneath that growth. And that makes me really happy. So, yes, Tim, Flickchart is addicting.
Yeah, very much so.
Very much so. Okay, well, if that's, unless there are any other questions, I want to thank everybody in the chat room for hanging out with us. And real quick, since you happen to be here anyway, we do live recordings on Tuesday nights and Thursday nights. We generally start at about 9 p.m. Eastern time. And when I say 9 p.m., I mean like 9:15 or so. We normally throw a video or something in the stream just to hold us over until everybody's ready to go. But, Tuesdays and Thursdays, Echo Base is normally on Tuesday nights. The non-Star Wars stuff is on Thursday nights, and I think this Tuesday we're going to do our movie draft for the spring 2016. Well, that may be tomorrow, though. It's either going to be Monday or Tuesday, and we should see if Nathan wants to be on that, too.
Tomorrow's not Monday.
Tomorrow's, well, now it is. It's 12:07 a.m., dude.
Well, okay, fine.
I'm looking at the clock on the computer. Anyway, okay, yeah, either Monday or Tuesday.
So don't take my day away. I haven't had a two-day weekend in a long time. I have 2 days this week off.
Oh, so, good. All right. Well, I need to wrap this up and kill the recording here just for the sake of the people who are downloading this. So, again, no intro music, no closing music. I'm just going to say, you know, if you want to continue listening to us, head over to randomchatter.com. All of our shows are still going to be there. If you want to catch more of Paul, Megan, and Saf, be sure to follow them on Twitter. Paul is, I'm going to have to do this from memory. Herman22, and Herman has two N's. Saf is Wanderlustin. And Megan is Blog Full of Words. And pay close attention because I think they're going to have an announcement pretty soon. Paul is also a podcaster over on Marvel News, and which is a great Marvel podcast, by the way. He and Sean Gerber do that. Very cool stuff. Spencer Brinkerhoff on the most recent episode of Rebel Force Radio on their Rebels Declassified. I'm sorry, my brain is starting to go now. Jay and Chris Wyman are still doing Jedi Journals. Jay also does a bunch of shows on the Random Chatter Network with Josh, and those are great. If you watch any of those TV shows, you should check those out. Who else do I need to plug? Ed DeLista, again, on IndieCast. Thanks, again, to the hard work that the other hosts have put in. Jimmy and Jason, obviously, on Rebel Force Radio. Eric Geller. And Justin Bolger. Justin, I believe, may or may not have some stuff to announce soon. So that's it. Thank you for everybody for sticking with all of us over all this time. And hopefully you'll follow us all wherever we go. And you know what? Thanks to Kyle, too. Whether you have differences of opinions or not, differences of styles, Kyle is, without question, a passionate Star Wars fan. And I know that he cared a lot about the direction the network was going into. So I want to make sure that we include him. He is also a part of the history of the Forcecast. So that's it. Thank you, everybody, and have a good night.